You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Romans in chapter 15, if I may just pick up from Sunday night, I think. And we were exercised to remind ourselves in these days that in the outworking of history, in this special time that we live, where the whole nation and actually the globe is in upheaval and in great flux. So there's nothing's for sure anywhere. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and we illustrated, I don't want to take time again every time, in the outliving of our life, history, all of history is taking place like this. Your personal history is taking place. You live this day. You don't know this day. You have to get there. You just don't know it. And we can hope. We have lots of hope. And we exercise hope in a very human, limited, little way. That's all we can do. We just don't know. No matter how we cut the cookie, we don't know. So that's the world, and that's what the world has to do. And they try to predict, they try to outwork all kinds of things. That's what they do. God, on the other hand, God has all of this together, all at once. So God, having that all at once together, sees the Roman Empire and the Grecian Empire, and sees the tribulation, sees the kingdom, sees it all. So when our hope is to be in God, as we shared. So our anticipation, our expectation is in God. So we're looking to God. We aren't looking to the pages. We're looking to God. God has all of this. Why did God tell us not to have any hope? Hypocrite's hope is down here. Trusting a spider web. It won't work. So God, what are you telling us? We shared all of that in repeated ways. God said, I am the God, I am the hope. How can we have the hope? God, how are you the God of hope? Because I've given you hope. Where does the hope come from? I gave you my son. My son went to the cross and died. That's what he did. Our Lord Jesus Christ, then you tell us, God? Our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son in his perfect humanity, is your hope. He is your hope, and we shared all that. Jesus Christ, our hope. So where's our hope, God? It's in your person. How can we enjoy your wonderful outworking? Because God has given us hope in the person of his Son. So when I receive this son as my Savior, I am able to enter in to a relationship to God as a child of God, as a son of God, in the family of God, God being my Father. I'm able to enter in to this relationship to God. God is my hope. Therefore, as I outlive each day, I don't see this day. I can't see. But I'm not trusting the next day. I'm not trusting what I don't see or what I don't understand. I'm not trusting what I do understand or what I do see. I'm trusting God, my Father, who has all of this already, knows it. Now that's important. Therefore, we share together, picking up in verse chapter 15, to keep in mind, so as we do this, you are going to rest where? On God's word. Because Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, which we read and are reading, were written for our learning. What so what? That we, through patience, bearing up under the load, enduring, and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So the whole thing, when it's all done, is to have hope. But isn't to have a whole lot of things. You say, well, good success, and oh no. The The whole wonderful thing that you need to have in your journey through time is hope. You need to have God, trusting God for the hope. He's the hope. He's the future. He is your life. We read all that. Eternal life, our hope. Our hope is a wonderful expectation in God's awesome person. And that's why we don't worry about that 5 minutes from now, or 3 days from now, or 3 years from now. We're looking to God, who has all those pages. Now, we share together Sunday night a little bit. So now, verse 15. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Why? Purpose. That you may abound in hope. So that's why are we reading? Why do we read and read and read and think and think? So we have hope. Where's our hope coming from? An understanding of God. If you're stupid about God, then you don't know for nothing. I have to understand about God. So that's why he gave me his word. That's why we read it. That's why we go statement after statement after statement. Now, so therefore, verse 13 again, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Why? That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So the outworking then, the outworking of this expectancy as we go down the corridor of time, as it were, as we're going down, the outworking isn't up to us, and it isn't up to government, and it isn't up to the health experts. God already has this. And the Spirit of God outworks God's wonderful will for your life. He didn't ask you to do it. He does it. And then we were trying to find out, how does he do it? Okay. So therefore, keeping that in mind, if you would, and remember our Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect example. He's the perfect man. So you know, so what is God's will? How am I supposed to be? The Lord Jesus Christ said, God said in Christ, that he is our example. He is our life. And he's going to outlive his life because you received him as your Savior. And the life you now have that you're working on, God has given you the wonderful opportunity to enjoy his life in the outworking of all those pages. Now, John chapter 5. And in John chapter 5, picking up, if I can, reminding yourself, our Lord is the example. He tells us, you want to know? How are we supposed to travel through time? Our Lord Jesus Christ showed us the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to the Father, and he is the way. So he shows us the way. And therefore, when you receive Christ as your Savior, is the way changed? Is the truth changed? Is the life changed? No. Christ in you is going to continue to do what he did when he walked all the way to the cross. Only he's going to do it in you. How can he do it in you? The Spirit of God's going to do it. Because Christ made it possible for you to enjoy a unique personal relationship to God. Now, chapter 5, verse 17, to see it. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh. Remember, we're looking at the word work, energy, activity, labor, building, producing, making something happen. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Same. So the Lord Jesus Christ, God said the Father works, and I work. But you have to understand, in my work, all I'm doing is the Father's work. I'm working out the Father's will. You have that jumping ahead in John, Philippians chapter 2. Work out, verse 12, work out your what? Work out your own salvation. And then the next statement, verse 13, it is God that worketh in you. You work, God works. Back over to here, here's our example. Verse 17, the Father works and I work. Verse 19, then Jesus, they answered Jesus, and by the way, what did they pick up that made them all upset? Therefore, verse 18, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his father, and also that God was his father, making him also equal with God. So they said, you can't have that relationship to God. Verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Son, the Father, do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. God, that's all he's doing, is representing God's wonderful outworking. Verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just. Why? Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Being human isn't about being human. It's about God being God. That's what it's about. So the Lord Jesus said, if I represent my humanity, that isn't why God created us. We're created in the image and likeness of God to enjoy him. That's what it's about. Hang on. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, in the light of that, God's wonderful, perfect humanity to show his wonderful deity. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, we don't have to turn there for time's sake. Over, if you did Romans, remember, God gives us that unique relationship which is absolutely required. So all of these wonderful things that we're seeking to understand, that are meant to be enjoyed and exercised, obviously. Otherwise, everything else is for the birds. Forget for the birds. The birds are pretty good. Now, so therefore, God, when Christ died, we died. Christ took us to the cross. He paid for our sin. He rose again to give us a newness of life. And we have that newness of life by way of being a son, by being a child. And we look to God. We have a unique relationship to God. Now, hang on to that. Now, in the light of humans, us humans, 7.5 billion of us on planet Earth, all of our humans, we work out. How do we work out? We're born and we live on planet Earth, and we exercise our relationship to being alive. So we, wherever country we live, whatever culture we live, Now here we are, all humans, and we're all exercising our earthly existence. Now, how do you know where a human is? What is the evidence? If I line 25 humans up from all different parts of the world, different cultures, and they never say boo, they don't open their mouth, they don't move, what would you know about them? You wouldn't know anything until they start talking, language, moving, how they move, how they do everything, and you'd start getting, how do you know? By their works. Now watch. Hang on. Over, if you would please, to Galatians. And Galatians, all I'm doing is putting it out for us to remind ourselves. So you'll see it, I hope. Chapter 5, God telling us, and I'm going to go directly for time's sake, if I can. Galatians chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 19 directly. But if you be led, verse 18 I should say, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, humans, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and then you list them. Now, would you please see the word works? That's the word we're looking at all the way through. Noun, verb. We're looking at the same word. So what do? We have works. We have works that we do. What are they? They're the works of the flesh. They aren't works of God. They're works of the flesh. Hang on. That's what we do. We do our work. That's how you know what we're like. You know, by our behavior, our words, our thoughts, our deeds. You know what a person's like. Now, in the light of that, all our works, and keeping in mind, as you think of that, remember now, without turning there and that, think of 1 Corinthians, you don't have to turn, 1 Corinthians 1:29. No flesh shall what? Glory in my presence. No flesh shall glory in my presence. Now, and Romans 8, do Romans 8, that one, just for the sake of doing it, to see it. Romans chapter 8, picking up, please, verse 6. Romans 8 and verse 6. And you will note, for to be carnally, fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because, what's the reason? The carnal, fleshly mind is enmity, hostility against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. The old nature will never agree with God. So that's why you had to be crucified. Because your old nature will never give in. And the wages of sin is death. And that's what God did to take care of that old nature that will never trust him. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot please God. You can't do it. It won't happen. No way under the sun. So they cannot please God. God's wonderful, wonderful. God created you in his image and likeness to be able to enjoy his wonderful person. God in you, the hope of glory, to be able to enjoy a wonderful relationship to God. Now, having said that little bit, let's jump all the way. Here's one other place that will help you. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And picking up, please, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of the Lord Jesus, from Sermon on the Mount. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns? No. Or figs of thistles? No, there's no figs there. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You can't do it. Old nature will never produce. A new nature would. Verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. It's no good. Verse 20, wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Their works. You'll know what kind of tree it is by the fruit. You'll know what a person is. We just see, hear them, watch them, talk to them. You'll know. That's how we know. God, hang on, chapter 20, Revelation. Then in chapter 20, picking up, please. The great white throne judgment is for unsaved people. The great white throne judgment. It's for the all unsaved, from Cain all the way to the end of the millennium. God settles it. Now, God, you know the answer before I even do it, because we've done it. 2 Corinthians chapter 20. Picking up, please, in verse 11 for a little context. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the book. Now, how does the judgment of God for all humans? By their works. By their works. That's the evidence. So God, how are you going to judge every human being from Cain down? I'm going to judge them by their works. Their works. That's the only evidence you have. By their fruits you'll know them. The works. That's awesome. No flesh shall glory in my presence. All the works are zip, no good. So all us humans trying to outlive our lives, politically, socially, economically, family-wise, and every otherwise, apart from God, it's all nothing. For the believer, it ends up what? Wood, hay, and stubble. That's how it ends up. The believer, if they didn't catch it, didn't get it, they're going to be saved, without jumping ahead there, 1 Corinthians 3:15, they're going to be saved as by fire. But they won't have anything else. They got saved. Could God save them? But they didn't produce anything. Because they lived their own life the way they wanted to. Now, having said that little bit, and as we proceed, so I have my illustration for good or bad. Here's our flesh and my hands, and I go and do everything, and I eat and drink and walk and talk, and that's like all of us, that's what I do. Now, that's my heat. So everything I touch, it's flesh, 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 flesh. Everything I do, that's the way it is. It's my flesh. It's me. Now, God, when I come to know the Lord as a Savior, you do a wonderful thing, and you give us eternal life and a unique relationship to your wonderful person. And we are to exercise that unique relationship to your awesome person. So, God, you save us. And here's our works. We got them. They didn't go away. The difference is, what's the difference going to be? The difference is going to be that God in us says, reckon yourself dead and alive unto God. Enjoy your relationship to me. That's what I want. Your hope isn't on you. Your hope is in God, who has the whole thing laid out. Jumping ahead in my half mind, Ephesians 2:10, go there, why not? Oh, by the way, if you kept reading in chapter 12 in that, by their works, if he's still there, verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. 12, 13. Everyone's judged. They don't have the. That's why no one complains. Of all the people from Cain to the end, why doesn't someone raise their hand and say, hold it, judge? Because why? They all know. There's nothing in them. There's no way that any work demonstrated the righteousness of God. There was no work that demonstrated Christ was in them. They're bankrupt. So, over to Ephesians again. And look at it, even though you know it, if you can. And you will note, please, in Ephesians 2, picking up in verse 10, as we were there on Sunday in that, we are his workmanship. Workmanship, the wonderful exercise of God to accomplish, to his wonderful efficiency and accomplishment, to make things, produce them, to make them happen. We are his workmanship, verse 10, and we're created in Christ. That's how we're new creatures in Christ. We walk in newness of life. We are created as new creatures in Christ Jesus. And what are we created for? Good works. The good works demonstrate to whom you belong. The good works. There's bad works, flesh, and there's good works. God wants the good ones. The bad ones he crucified and ended it. Stop. This is how I feel. Well, you can feel any way you want. You can pull off whatever and do it. It won't make any difference. It's a work. It's us. And God said, I don't count it. Now, hang on. Verse 10. In Christ Jesus unto good works, which God, verse 10, hath before ordained to know ahead of time that we should walk in them. I've shared that 100 times. Before you were ever born, before you were ever born, before you were ever created, before anything's created, God, Christ, the Lamb of God, died for you before the foundation of the world. And he had you in mind. He had all of us humans, big block of us, in the mind. And he had us. He died for all of us. All of us. So when we, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, he provided a wonderful Savior. Now God, in providing a wonderful Savior, you have a why did you save everybody? Why did you die for everybody? So that everybody could fulfill the wonderful relationship that they're to have to God's wonderful person as being made in his image and likeness, to enjoy that relationship. But God, and so you had that. So you already had in mind, before any of us, you got a reason for each one of us, a place for each one of us. Think, going back to the painting where the artist has the whole picture in his mind, and before he even begins to pick up his brush, he already knows the painting. It has to be painted on the canvas to be worked out. Okay. So God, so when we get saved, God, you brought it. We come to a relationship in Christ to God, who's our expectancy. What are we expecting? God to outwork his wonderful purpose, which he has done for us from the foundation of the world. What are you going to call that? The good works. The good works, they're going to work it out. God is going to work out his wonderful works. That's why we didn't take time, John chapter 14, verse 12. The Lord Jesus said, and you, believers, will do works just like I'm going to do. I did so many works going up and down Jerusalem in the streets of Palestine. You're going to do works. I'm going to work in you both to work out and do my good will wherever you are. So I'm going to demonstrate who I am, resurrected by my works in your life, wherever you are. Wherever you are. I'm going to outwork my life, my works. My works. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so here's my flesh again. Now, when I receive the Lord as my Savior, God, what do you do? Well, God saves us. So over to Romans 6. And in Romans 6, if I can, I'm going directly to verse 13. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to show it. Neither yield, I'll read verse 11, likewise reckon, calculate, compute ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 13, neither yield, present ye your members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, hands, as instruments of unrighteousness, that's your old nature, unto sin, because God, you crucified me, that's right. The new life I now live is yours. So I have a unique relationship to God by way of his resurrection. Verse 13 again. Now yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God, as those that are don't yield yourself. I'll read that slowly. Unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of unrighteousness. So God, my eyes, ears, nose, throat, hands. Here's my hands. Everything I do shows what? My flesh. Everything I do. I eat, think, drink. It's my flesh. So your flesh, my flesh. That's what we do. Now, but I get saved, and God, I have a relationship. I don't have to do it this way anymore. I have to use my hands to brush my teeth. I have to do a whole lot of things. I have to use my tongue to try to speak and my little brain to try to work, and I do it, try to. I do that. But if I'm going to trust God and I understand my relationship, then it's different. So therefore, here's my hand. When I come to know the Lord as my Savior, God is going to go, and here's my hand, but God, what's my hand? Brushing my teeth. It's my hand. Whatever you eat or drink, do it to the what? To the glory of God. That's what we're doing. So we're looking to God to do that. So we're trusting God. That's right. Now, so does that sound good? It's easy. Gonna trust God? So whatever I do, so it isn't just certain things. No. I have a relationship. The relationship stays. My relationship to God doesn't go away. It's there. And if I choose to exercise, neither yield your members as instruments unto sin, but unto God, then I'm going to find the glove working. And God is going to be glorified. It's my same hand. Now, applying that, here's my other hand. This is the flesh hand. Now, lots of believers, we don't mind being saved. We don't mind going to church and opening the Bible, you see. And we'll even say a prayer, maybe. We'll do it. But I have the rest of my life. I mean, once I'm through with my devotions, I'm done. So I'm going to go to work, school, play. What am I going to do? I'm going to do it. Does that sound good? Do you like that? Sure, you should. It's the old nature. And we like it. So we can still do this freely without any compulsion whatsoever. And we're still Christians and yay. Say, what's wrong? This is no good. We just read it in Romans 8, 6, 7, and 8. Carnal, fleshly. No flesh cannot please God. So therefore, God, what's missing? Well, Romans 6, 13. Neither yield your members. Well, this hand belongs to God. But God said, don't forget. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. And God owns you from stem to stern. From the head to your toes, God owns you. And therefore, God, am I getting it? Uh-huh. Because you don't want this hand free. You want my whole life. Romans 6, 13, to enjoy your wonderful person. It's the same me, but it's all me for all of God. Yea, though I live, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you understand? Most people, this is what God wants. This is where his works. This is what hope is doing. The God of hope is outworking. As you turn the watch, I'll do it. I'm trying to do it. God's unworking. So here's your life. And you turn the... I don't know, but God does. See, God has to work it. I go to the next page in my life next week. I looked at it. I don't know it, but God does. And that's what I'm doing. So God, that's all God asked. God didn't ask me to find it here. God asked me to find it in his person. And so God's going to outwork his wonderful person in my life if I do that. And it isn't some special thing. God's going to send me to East Oshkosh to do something. No. God just said, without turning there, that time goes, I hate time. In the process, I do. I wish I could get rid of time. I will. Time is going to go. So we might as well use it while we got it, I guess. Okay. I forgot what I was going to say after I get so sidetracked. Anyway, so God, we're going to go and look to you to outwork what you're doing in a most wonderful way. And whatsoever we eat or drink, 1 Corinthians 10:31, Colossians 3, what are we going to do? Whatever you do, do it heartily with your whole heart as unto the Lord and not, N-O-T, unto people. Don't do it for people. Don't do this for people. do this for God. That's what to do. Say, no, I like this. Well, that's where most Christians are that are saved. Otherwise, they're not saved. They can read the Bible and none of the stuff we're doing, which is absolutely essential these days. Because what's coming up, boy, you need to be, strengthen the brethren. Strengthen them. That's what they need. So I can do John 3:16. I probably could. John 3:16 and Ezekiel. John 3:16 in Zechariah. John 3:16 in Habakkuk. I can have all kinds of Bible messages. But they aren't locking you into truth. And if you don't have truth, you're still working out the same dumb system you started with. And God saved you from it. Now, hang on, if I can. I hope you're getting a little bit. Now, having said that little bit, over to, to James. And in James chapter 2, picking up, please, in thought. And what do we know? Abraham believed God, and that's what he did. He did. God told him to go up the mountain and sacrifice his son, and he did. That's what he did. Now, so God, so what's the message? James telling us, early right on, writer of the New Testament, James chapter 2, picking up, please, verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Same word, works, being alone. Yet if a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my work. I'm trusting God. See my gloves? See what I'm doing. You can't show me. I have faith. Show me it. I believe. Show me. Show me that you believe. Well, I don't have to. I may have said it. That's why. I don't know. I wouldn't want to be in those shoes myself. I don't want to be in those shoes. No, thank you. But, so God, what do you say? Verse 19, believest thou that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils, demons, also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O man, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And verse 26, for time's sake, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So there's no evidence. There's no evidence. But who needs evidence? We got glove in one hand and the other hand. I go to church. I read my Bible. And maybe it's true. Maybe it isn't. I don't know. So, in light of the James, you remember our Lord would say, you don't have to turn there, Matt, back to Matthew 6 again and 21. He says it wonderfully, all kinds of different ways. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. Say, I read the Bible, but what are you excited about? I'm excited about this. I'm excited about that. I do this. I'm caught up in that. That's where your treasure is. That's where your ear is. Your whole heart's there. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. And if you were in God, you'd be looking to God, resting in God, thanking God that he's outworking your life as you turn the pages, as you outlive the thing. You'd be enjoying the trip, no? You'd be enjoying the trip better and better and better, more and more, no matter what. So God, here we are looking. So God, and you're going to say, oh, do that one too. Oh, John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, you'll please note, I'm going directly, if I can, to the question we did on Sunday night of that. Chapter 6, verse 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works, plural, of God? We'd like to, why? Because the works are essential. So we want to work the works. And they didn't catch, we shared it all Sunday, so we don't need to do it again, labor. God didn't ask them, to do. God isn't telling them to do works. He's telling them to believe. He's the bread of life, to believe. They didn't want to catch that. Now, God, are you going to correct them? I did. Verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work, singular, verse 28, plural. They wanted to do a whole lot of things. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work, singular, of God. And what is the work of God? That you believe on him whom he has sent. I want you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and yield to him your whole body for the outworking of his wonderful life. That's what I want. Well, but they didn't want to hear that either. They didn't like the answer. They didn't going to answer that. They aren't going to believe. But, no, that's what I told you. But what are we going to do, God? We can't do it. No. So, God, we got to learn this. Now, how are we going to learn it? Well, over to James. And in James chapter 1, picking up, please, in James 1, and you'll catch it, in verse 3. I'll read verse 2, since it's encouraging. Brethren, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, testings, etc. Knowing this, that the trying, putting a metal into a hot fire to melt and purify it, to get the dross out of the gold, separate the dross from the gold, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, bearing up under the load. Verse 4, let patience, bearing up under the load, which we see at Sunday, have her perfect work, complete, wonderful work, to make everything work out. That, what for? That you may be perfect, complete, finished, and entire, nothing missing, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. What do you want to do? I'm going to put you through whatever that you're going to exercise. We just did that in Romans chapter 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. God, there was a hope from trial, test, trouble. That's how we learn it. Over to Peter, you're right next door, just to see it again. 1 Peter and chapter 1. And here's our Lord telling us, 1 Peter chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold, all kinds of testing, trying, and things to have to figure out, to answer, to adjust to. Wow. Verse 7. That, the trial, putting to the metal, into the crucible, into the fire, to melt the gold, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, that might be found, as we read, unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God, what are you doing? I'm trying to get you to stop using your hands, to stop being so much involved about self. It's my life and my rights and my feelings and my everything. And I have a right. Well, you did till you got saved. And now it's God's right. He is Lord of your life if you let him. But no, I'm not. Then you won't know it. You won't know for nothing. And wood, hay, and stubble, that's where we're going. Not you guys, of course. Now, so having said that, God, looking to you, over to Revelation, in Revelation chapter 2. Now, what do we know, God? What are you going to do to the churches? Well, you're going to go and do a wonderful thing. Revelation chapter 2, picking up, here's the church in Ephesus, the seven. Ephesus was the model church, as it were. Chapter 2, verse 2. Ephesus, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience bearing up under, and I know that thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. So you're really trying to do the job. That's wonderful. But, verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you lost your first love. You lost your relationship. You're busy serving the company, you know. And you served in the old days when they used to do that, I think. But back in those days, I think a Sanborn company and different things I worked for. And in the process, we were employees. We shared in the money they did, the business. So the more we did right, every little while, they gave you the benefits. You're part of the team. How many? The state does that, doesn't it? Doesn't the state do that? No. That's what you did. You're part of it, God. So God, what are you saying? You lost your relationship. And therefore, over down, John, if I can, chapter 2, verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick. That means he's going to put the church out of, not the building. People could still sit in the building, but God isn't there anymore. God isn't there anymore. Nope. I will come on thy candlestick, move thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, God, and you're going to say, over to verse 9, I know thy works. Verse 13, I know thy works. Every single time, what are you judging the church for? For their works. What are you going to judge the unsaved for? Their works. Their works evidence where they are. So you can have all the talk and what, all the books and whatever. I'm going to test their works. I'm going to see where I fit in or I didn't fit in. That's all. Simple. I didn't ask you to do extraordinary things. I asked you to rejoice in the Lord always. To pray, never stop exercising your relationship to me. Don't quench the Spirit of God. Be thankful in everything. What you're doing, make sure you do that. And God, what are you going to do? And you're going to outwork your wonderful will. That's right. Whether I eat or drink, whatever I do, I have to do what I do. Everyone has a different job, different everything, a different all kinds of things. But we do it. But everyone that's doing it ought to be doing it with the gloves on. With the gloves on. God help me. So my hope, as I turn the pages and I read and I hear the news, I say, ooh, awful news. And it is. And what they're doing, the peace accord and green, whatever, and all this stuff, shooting us like out of a cannon fast. Well, so we don't have to think about a lot of things. Just watch it happen. And wow. And when you get your stimulus check for $7 million, nothing to it. You just enjoy the $7 million, and as soon as it's gone, you won't have a job, you'll have high taxes, and you'll go bananas. But for a little bit, be of courage, you got your money, aren't you happy? Ah, count to 10. We'll see. Wow. Now, I got to quit. Over if I can, in closing. Oh, why not? Over to Hebrews. Appreciate your patience, and I hope you got a little bit. It's things that just aren't common knowledge. We commonly don't think about these things. But at this point in history, man, we better jump to the gun here and get it so we can succeed. Otherwise, we're going to get clobbered. What did I say? Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Going directly in the light of God's wonderful grace. It's not by. Well, you're here. Hold your finger here. Over to chapter 9. Chapter 9, please. May I go to verse 14 directly? 9:14, Hebrews. God say it to us. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience, what you're using to tell right and wrong, purge your conscience from dead works. You're thinking wrong. You're thinking wrong. And Christ died to take care of that dumb thought. And so we confess our sin and keep going. That's all. Simple as that. And to serve the living God. Over to chapter 4. Now, God, what did you want us to have? You know it. Wonderful thing. We've done it how many times? Verse 10. For God rested on the seventh day. And God rested on the seventh day. Before you were ever created, God had everything all set. All the pages of your life are finished. Your birth, your death, your eternal existence is there. Wow. Now, so God, here we are looking to you. And in the process, God, you've gone. And we're looking and trusting you to outwork your wonderful will. And you had all of that done before the foundation of the world. And you died on the cross. You created heaven and earth, Genesis 2, 1, 2, 3. You finished it. You went and crossed and died on the cross, and you finished it. For what reason? In order that, verse 10, chapter 4, Hebrews. For he that has entered into his God's rest, he also has ceased from his own works. And we aren't trying to self, all about me, self, my feelings, my everything, what I think about everybody. No. Verse 10, for he that has entered into his rest, is he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. And that's what we're doing. I enjoy the wonderful rest. That's what we're to be doing. Enjoying the wonderful rest. God has got it finished. So I haven't got to the pages yet. I haven't got there, but God has. And I'm resting in all that God has before I was ever created to make it happen. Does that help you? That's what it's all about. Just think of the gloves. That's what God wants. Say, well, I don't. Then you can do whatever. Listen, we got zillions of so-called people that believe this and believe that and believe whatever they want. They can think whatever they want, feel whatever they want, go wherever they want, up to a point. But when it's done, God said, you're going to stand before me, and I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to test your works. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to see about your works. I'm going to see where my son is in you. That's what I want. And if I can't find anything, will I find my son? If I find my son, you're saved. Thank God you're saved. But nothing else. It's a wonderful thing. I hope that's encouraged. Aren't you encouraged? No. Who's trusting? I wouldn't trust my stupid works. And listen, I've lived a couple of years, and I've been through a whole lot of things for a long time. And you know what? I wouldn't trust one thing in my life. I can't think of one thing that is important. Nothing. The only thing that's important is everything is past, everything has become gone, and everything becomes new. So as I get out of bed in the morning, I'm going to start all over. Another 24-hour day. That's what I'm going to do. How much have I got ahead? Nothing. I've got nothing. I'm not trusting it. Neither are you. I'm not trusting anything about my stupid self. Is that all right to say that? I'm not trusting zilch about it. I live that way. That's why I'm trying to help you see this. I say, well, I don't like the way he preached. I don't blame you. I wouldn't like it either. You're going to bother me and get after me all the time? And get after my heart to have to fix things, change things? Who likes that? No one. But that's what God said. If I don't love you, Hebrews 12, you are a bastard. You are an illegitimate child if I'm not loving you. And whom I love, I chasten. You say, well, no one bothers me. Well, then you better check out yourself. That's what I do. Well,